Take your Bible, if you would, this morning. Now, I want to go into St. John chapter 4 this morning. See, I didn't come with a red-hot sermon this morning, but I came with a message titled White Harvest Revival. White Harvest Revival is what we're going to talk about this morning. I don't know about you, but I want the spirit of revival on the church. I feel like God's already preparing the worship and the music to take us into revival. I feel like the testimony of faith has already been shared this morning. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you're already guiding us into a white harvest revival message this morning. St. John chapter 4. When you get to chapter 4, if you'd stand, I want to begin reading down at verse number 27, and we'll read through verse 42. And this is the power of God's word being read. This is his spoken word. I believe just in hearing the word of God read from his Holy Script that it will change and do. The Bible even says that he will send his word, and where he sends his word, it will not come back to him void, but where it goes, it will go out and do that he has sent it forth to do. So this morning, receive the word of God. In verse 27, it begins as this. It says, "And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seeketh thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him out something to eat? And Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. But behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look onto the fields, for they are white, already unto harvest." And I need to read that verse again. "Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh a harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and he that gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap there whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Father, I thank you, Lord, that it is not going to be up to my voice for the congregation to hear this morning, but Lord, when they believe and receive that, yes, this is Christ, who speaketh unto the church this morning. This is Christ who anointeth already the word of living, word of God this morning. Lord, when it is you that they meet, first place and first in priority, then Lord, they will say, we now believe not because of the words of someone else, but because we ourselves have heard him and we receive from him all things that he's ever said unto us. And we receive this morning that the Holy Spirit is stirring this church to a white harvest revival. And we are beginning to enter into a new phase, a new place where God is beginning to direct us and lead us into a place where we will shout, we will rejoice, we will sing, we will declare the mighty acts of God. We will see the hand of the Almighty. Merciful and powerful is he. The name is Jesus that we worship. The name is Jesus that we adore. The name is Jesus that we exalt. Hallelujah. We give him praise this morning and give him glory. Just before you sit down, give him another hand clap of praise. Let him know that you're ready for a white harvest revival. Let him know that you're ready to be a part of something great. Let him know that you came to receive from him this morning, that you want to be a part of. Oh, hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost moving already this morning. Hallelujah. Preparing us, his people, to receive a white harvest revival of the last days. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know if this is going to be one of those services that you can sit. But if you can, I give you permission. Go ahead and get comfortable. Get real comfortable, because God is sitting next to you this morning. He is walking up and down the aisles this morning. He has already orchestrated and said, I'm bringing my Holy Spirit with me this morning. Hallelujah. He came to have church this morning. Hallelujah. And I believe God is just already blessing us. Hallelujah. If we dismiss right now, I believe I could go home and say, honey, it was good to be in God's house this morning. It was a blessing to be in the saints, with the saints rejoicing this morning. I've already begun to, oh, hallelujah. I just feel good in my spirit this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing upon my life this morning. White Harvest Revival. Well, to set this up, Jesus had been already ministering. He'd been to the well with a woman. You see, that was going on before. It's part of the text, but you got to back up just a little bit to know what Jesus was up to. And there's some questions that the church has got to understand, and some things that Jesus wants to get across to us about how in the world can we have a White Harvest Revival. Well, you see, when the crops begin to ripen, you and I know by nature that first the seed goes in, and then the rains and the sun and all the things that take place. And pretty soon you'll see the green little shoots come up, and it won't be long. You can go out and you can probably see some buddings on the trees right now, and you can begin to see a few new blades of grass beginning to break through the winter grounds. And all of a sudden there's this green pasture that begins to blossom. And you see, we understand what that looks like, but Jesus was beginning to teach the disciples, and he said, you know, there's a saying that says, you know, 4 months and then there's a harvest. But see, Jesus said, I'm not going to talk to you this morning about the natural harvest. I'm going to talk to you about a white harvest that's ready. When the word of God goes out, it's ready to be ministered. It's ready to be received. It's ready to see the product of healing and blessing and ministry and all of these things. And Jesus was doing a White Harvest Revival, and he had an audience of one. He was there at the well with the woman. Yes. I got to ask a question, because the Holy Spirit began to ask this question in my heart when I began to study the word on this. And he said, who came to the well thirsty? Now, before you answer that, I want you to think about it. Who came to the well thirsty? The Samaritan woman was doing her daily duties and responsibilities. See, she wasn't the one that came to the well thirsty. She went for a necessity. She went to draw. I'm talking about getting ready for a White Harvest Revival. Jesus is going to teach us how to have a White Harvest Revival, but we got to ask a question this morning. Who came to the well thirsty? Jesus was at the well. The woman was at the well. And this time it happened to be Jesus who came thirsty. No, he wasn't coming to get the water out of the well and get a drink, but he was ready in his spirit, thirsty unto ministry. See, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, one of the Beatitudes is those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. How many know that Jesus came filled from heaven? Jesus came filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus came filled with his glory. Jesus came filled from heaven, and he was never, ever found not thirsty. He was always looking for a place to minister. He didn't care if it was at there in the table with the sinners and the tax collectors. He didn't care if it happened to be at the place of the well where the woman happened to come by. But Jesus was the one who came to the well thirsty. Now, what is the well? Well, do we go to the well the way that they do in the Bible days back then? No, not very many of us do. But you see, there was a common place to go to get water out of a well. And that woman had to go there because she needed to sustain her natural life and carry back water, not for herself only, but for any of the livestock and the others that were in her household. And Jesus knew that, but he showed up thirsty. He was looking for a place to minister, and he happened to find somebody coming to the well. And the well is that common everyday meeting place in life. It may be the supermarket for you and I. It may be on the job. It may be when we're down in a fellowship room. It may be one of the apartment buildings that we're living in. It may be when we're out to breakfast and somebody sits across from us and begins to strike up a conversation. It might be while you're standing in line somewhere, but you have to understand somebody has got to come to the common places with a thirst on their spirit. Jesus taught us that if we're going to have a White Harvest Revival, somebody has got to get thirsty. Yeah. The woman was not thirsty. She was just doing the necessities of life. But Jesus was thirsty. I can tell you this morning that Jesus is thirsty. He's ready to minister upon this congregation today. He'll be ready tonight to minister upon you and upon the ministry that's here. But Jesus is going on. He's setting up, and the disciples don't have any idea what Jesus is doing. They're not paying attention. They're not looking on the field. They're not understanding that it's white, ready to harvest. They're just kind of wondering. As a matter of fact, they began to look at Jesus, and when he came up to them, they had been questioning, why would Jesus be with this woman? See, the customs of the day was that a rabbi would not be alone in public with a woman. You know, there's some things to preach about that this morning. With all the tricks and deception that the enemy lays and waits on us, you got to be careful how you go about your ministry. But Jesus, being the Son of the living God, he knew what he was doing. And he was at the well. And the well is the common places that you and I go. But the question is, when we're in our commonplaces of life, are we remaining thirsty for ministry of the Lord? You see, we want a White Harvest revival. Oh, we want the Holy Spirit to be ready to go at all times, and he is. We want the Word of God to do great things, and it does. We want the anointing of Jesus to come, and it will. But see, you and I have got to learn how to stay hungry and how to stay thirsty. What did the disciples say when they got to him? They said, Jesus, can we pray with you and cause you to just get a little bit something to eat? They were concerned about his natural needs. And Jesus began to say, hey, listen, I've got meat that you don't even know about. I am somebody that is being fed by heaven. I have something to do. I have the will of the Father, and I want to minister because I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. See, you can't be hungry without being thirsty. They go together. You got to hunger and thirst. That's why the Beatitude was put together. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So we've got to, number one, we got to go to our common places of life and be thirsty and hungry for ministry. You know, this is not just the commonplace church. This is the gathering of saints together. This is the house of the Lord of prayer. This is the place where we worship and glorify the name of Jesus. But the common places of ministry are on the outside of these walls. And when somebody in the house of God will take the message of Jesus and go in the streets again and just be used in a common everyday place, God will start a White Harvest revival in the spirit of us and cause us to be able to rejoice again. He ministers one-on-one. Can I tell you that the campaigns to bring revivals that we sometimes get involved in, call every other church in town, go out and get the news broadcasters to tell it off, get on the radio station and tell them, hey, let's intercede on the radio and get this commercial breakthrough in that over at New Beginnings Church of God on 814 East Jersey, we're going to have revival in just such and such a time. Well, that's good that we invite, but we got to be busy in the common places of our life and witness and minister one-on-one the way that Jesus does. It isn't always about ministering to the big crowds. It's about finding the one, because it could be that one that God would minister to that would be the great revival fire starting just on that one vessel. How about the church get behind Sister Linda and believe God to just save and bring in Brother Roger to be part of this family? How much revival could happen in the house of God if we just began to believe Brother Dave for Sister Janet's mother again, all of that that's going on, that they would come not in the spirit of defeat, but in the spirit of victory. And how about some of your family? And how about some of mine when we see them come back into the house of God? How about just being ready to minister because we're hungry and thirsty after the things of God? Amen. So he told his disciples, hey, you might think I need to eat right now, but there's something more important than that. Don't you know the Bible says that when the Lord comes, he's going to find them eating and drinking and giving in marriage and doing the common things of life? Hey, it's more important in the natural for the human body to consume and just be merry and enjoy these things. But Jesus said, I'm looking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. And sometimes you'll lay down your plate of supper and get up and go out when you see your neighbor in the yard and say, God, if this be the right opportunity, just begin to open up that door. When you peek out your window and begin to see somebody coming down the road that you haven't talked to in a long time, and you get an email from a long-lost friend, or you get somebody that just happens to know who you are at the grocery store, and you haven't really seen them, and you just think by chance you bumped into them. I say God's setting up a one-on-one place for you to minister in common places to say, hey, have you been to church lately? Hey, have you been in the Word of God? What's going on in your spiritual life? Can I be of assistance with you? I'm here to tell you that Jesus stayed hungry and thirsty, and white harvest revival came. One-on-one. Acts chapter 2. The church got on fire. The church was lit by the Holy Ghost. And it says that daily the Lord added to the church. How did he do it daily? Number one, the disciples said, I'm going to daily stay hungry and I'm daily going to pray. They were fasting, they were breaking bread together, and they were praying daily. Go back into the book of Acts and read what happens. It didn't say that they came to church on Sunday morning and only prayed then. It didn't say that they only came on the first Sunday of the month and broke bread and had communion then. But it said they were doing these things daily, and because their spirit stayed hungering and thirsting after righteousness, God said, hey, I can add to the church daily. As long as you're doing those things, and it's time for the church to get back to daily business with God so that White Harvest Revival can come in this house.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. One-on-one. God brings multitudes to Christ. We're going to see that.
Yes, Lord.
We're going to see that in the text. He ministered one-on-one, but one brought a multitude.
Yes.
One of the words in my spirit that I've been praying about is, God, how do the multitudes come in? And I believe he gave me this message, and it might just be for me this morning, because he's saying, stop worrying about how to get them all in the house at the same time, but be ready to minister one-on-one as I give you the open door in the common places, like the well and the woman at the well. But I got to tell you, see, when you begin to witness, Jesus taught us something about this conversation at the well. Repentance and salvation have got to go together. You and I cannot be the ones to go out and call all the sinners black. We can't go out and call all of the sin death. We can't go out and call everybody and tell them this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, because all we're doing is bringing out the message of sinning and condemnation and things like that. But the repentance and salvation message has got to go together. You got to build it up inside of them. Jesus took some time with this woman and he began to go through some things. He was trying to stir up a thirst. She was thirsty at one time in her life. I'm going to use the example that the Bible tells about this woman. I know she had thirst in her spirit at one time, because nobody gets married without some kind of thirst being there. You know, when all the hopes and dreams of a woman meeting their knight in shining armor and being wrapped together in that union and in that relationship, God calls that kind of thing holy and sacred. And she had all of that going for her. She married once. She put her trust and hope in those things. She was thirsting after that. But Jesus is getting ready to teach and talk to her. He starts out and he says, listen, if you come to this well and just keep drawing this water, you're always going to be thirsty. Church, if you and I stay in the world and we keep doing it, and we keep doing the everyday thing that we do, we go to the same place, we do the same routine, we keep doing this and we keep doing that, Jesus is saying, you've been drinking the same water year after year after year after year, and you're still thirsty. But hey, I've got some kind of water inside of me that if you'll take the water that I give, that water that I give to you will cause you to never thirst again. And not only that, but it will be a well of water springing up into you for everlasting life. Hallelujah. I caught that word up when I began to look at the word. Rain comes down. Storms beat us down. But the water of living life of Jesus Christ that's inside of us will bring a well bubbling up on the inside and take you up. A spring rising up inside of you is a great well that God wants to place inside of you. So he begins to test and say, could I just find out if you've got a little bit of thirst left in your spirit? You know, you can't always jump in and tell everybody that you meet. the deep things of God without first wetting the spiritual means in their life and saying, but there's hope. You might be going through a trial. You might be going through a test. You might be going under, and it seems like you've been down and out. But let me give you some hope. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. And you might have to walk away after that and let them chew on the fact that Jesus came to give us life more abundantly, because what they're living in every day, going to the same old place and drawing the same old water, is going there day after day saying, this life is not getting me happy. This life is not sustaining me. This life is just mundane. This life is not getting me better. This life is not helping my family. And see, we go back and forth and back and forth, but we keep going to the same well. And Jesus said, I want to replace that well and be the well of life that I came to be to you and to me this morning. And when you drank of me, see, you got to drink. What would happen if Jesus just came around and just threw water on you? You'd get wet. I could tell a story on somebody in the church, but I won't. Somebody that likes to throw water. Be careful for them. But Jesus said, I want you to drink the water. But it ain't the same water as the world. He came to teach us the difference between natural and spiritual. See, you're going to remain thirsty and dry until something on the inside of you comes alive. That's called being born again in Christ. You'll never be able to drink of the water of Jesus until you receive him. So he said, if you drink of it, I'll give you this water. You'll never thirst again. So you know, that got her attention. And like any one of us would say, but she said it this way. She said, sir, give me the water. Have you ever came into the house of God and you just kind of approached him that way? Hey, God, just give it to me. Just go ahead and give it to me. See, Jesus is building us up. How in the world are we going to have a White Harvest revival? Somebody's got to go to the common places of the wells of life and be thirsty and hungry with Jesus for ministry. And then when you find somebody that Jesus sets up the appointment to, you got to begin to minister to them in repentance and salvation at the same time. So he's getting ready to do that. He got her a little thirsty. Got her asking, hey, can't you just pray for me right here instead of me going to your church? Hey, can't you just bless me right here? Yes, we can do that. But see, you got to go on and get him where Jesus says to go. Get him into the place where now repentance is going to have to take place on their part. Jesus said, hey, before I give you this water, I got something to tell you. I want you to go get your husband and then come back. How many would be disappointed in the Lord if he brought you into the house of God this morning and he sent you home and said, I want you to go get that thing and then come back and then we'll talk about the water? But you know he does. Does he not tell us to leave the altar? If we have aught with our brother or our sister, leave the gift that we bring to him. He's saying, in other words, go home, get this thing worked out, then come back to my altar, and then I will begin to give you this water of living life. See, in the church, we come in and we say, give me, give me, give me, give me. Sounds like some of the babies today. As soon as they can talk and walk, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. But they're waiting. The Lord's going to get to them one day, and he's going to tell them, I'm going to trade that giving spirit from you, and I'm going to give you some water that you'll stop all this giving stuff that you're asking for all the time. Jesus said, go home, bring back your husband. Well, she decided to just be honest with him right then and there. Ain't no point going home. I might as well confess it, Lord. I don't have a husband. He said, right. You've had five. And then this guy that you're with right now, he's not even yours. He could have belonged to another woman and been a husband of another wife. I don't know. But now, before you jump on the bandwagon and start condemning this woman, I want to read you a scripture out of Isaiah 54. You can go there and look it up. I believe it's along verse 5. It says, your master is your husband, the Lord of hosts. is his name. Let's talk about husbands. We can easily look at this woman and say, oh yeah, she had a lot of sin. But see, she represents life today. I'm not saying everybody in this house has had multiple wives and husbands, but Jesus was dealing with the nature of the flesh. She was a symbolic meaning of, hey, not only has she been found in sin before, but she is layered on top of layer. Life has beat her up. She had once been thirsty, believing that something good was going to be in life. And all this while now, she's went through five husbands, and the one that she's living with, she decided there's no use of being thirsty. I'll just do the common thing of life, and we don't even have to be married anymore. See, sin gets in the door, and all these things about the world creep in on us, and pretty soon we just lay down and say, I'm not thirsty. I'm not hungry for righteousness anymore, and you don't even have a desire to be of the right things of God. But before you condemn this woman, the Lord is the husband, spiritually, of the men and of the women together.
Yes.
He is the groom that is coming for his bride, the body of Christ. What is a husband? A husband is one who is a provider. A husband is one who is a protector. Now say that about the Lord. He's my provider. He's my protector. Yeah. Now let's ask the church this tough question. How many husbands have you been with outside of Jesus when you had a trouble? How many husbands have you been with outside of serving Jesus when you had to have a problem fixed and you went to some other place and you went to some other source? You see, we're guilty of being with many husbands. Jesus called her out and said, you've had five, and now you've even quit even wanting them to be husbands, and you're just going to go ahead and live with one. And Jesus is saying to the church, how many husbands have you been replacing me with? How many places have you went to be your provider? How many places have you went to get your protection? Who's running to the government and trying to hide in their protection? Who's going to this and that loan and bank and all these things to be secure? And who's doing all the things that we're all caught up in? And Jesus says, I'm the husband. I'm the provider. How are we going to get a White Harvest revival? When we give him his job back.
Amen.
When we give him his job back.
Amen.
He's my provider.
Yeah.
He's my protector.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Can we get that in our spirit this morning? Life is trying to steal us. Like the woman at the well. She had been beaten on so much in her life that she quit being thirsty. How many of us come to church? I'm no longer thirsty for revival. I'm no longer thirsty for the things of God. We don't mean to be that way. But we end up there. Pastors end up there. I don't really need to be in the Word of God to get this message. I can just flip it open, read a little text. God will do the rest. My Bible tells me about the great white harvest of revival that he gets his disciples involved. He woke them up. He said, listen, I need you to understand that the world system says wait 4 months and then here comes a harvest. But spiritually mattering things don't take that long. When the word of God is released, look up and see the field ripe, ready as a white harvest to get them in the house of God. Stop going through life with the spiritual head down, saying nobody wants to get saved anymore. Nobody wants to come to the house of God anymore. Nobody wants to sing the songs of Zion anymore. That is a lie from the devil himself, because there's common people every day out there that are waiting on somebody like Jesus to get to the wells of life and offer them something to drink and replace it and say, I can give you the same thing that I've got, and you'll never be the same again.
That's right. Amen.
This is revival.
Glory to God.
God's not just going to stick his finger on the top of the building and say, revival. He's going to get his disciples. You and I are back in the streets. The disciples were concerned of Jesus. Hey, Jesus, you need to eat. You've been doing a lot of work lately, Lord. Could we just pray with you and ask you to eat? Jesus is teaching us there's always a time to eat food. But there's not always going to be a time to see another soul saved. Then he told his disciples, lift up your eyes. This is the text. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. That's all we got to know. Don't ask how the seed got in the ground. Don't ask how the water makes it grow. Just know that Jesus called the harvest field white. He talked to the woman and told her about worship. Now we've talked about repentance, because she did repent. She told the Lord all that she had done. The Lord began to talk to her about worship. See, the real change of any heart that's been in touch with Jesus is found in the heart of worship. Jesus is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not looking for the choir to sing on Sunday morning. He's not looking for the special person to sing a special song. He's looking for the true worshiper who worships in spirit and in truth because her life, or their life, was changed. Her life was changed. How did she worship the Lord? Did she sing a song? She worshiped the Lord this way. She went and told about a man that knew all things in her life. Now see, if he knows all things, he knows how to fix all things. Because I don't know if you would get off the bench and out of your house to go run down the streets and tell something about somebody that knew all your business. You might get upset. You don't want others to know all your business. But there's more to that message. By knowing all of her, he knew how to fix all of her. And that's what she was saying. I got my thirst back. People seen her come and go. Same way. If it was in today's world, maybe she stopped putting makeup on. Maybe she stopped going to the beauty parlor. Maybe she stopped doing this and that and she just didn't care anymore. But all of a sudden now she's going back. Hey, I'm getting that dress out of the closet again. Hey, I'm getting those new shoes. Hey. See, now the ladies ought to be happy because I'm giving them permission to go shopping. Ah, oh, you missed it. That's okay. She believed. How many of you went out and talked to somebody and they say, I believe? But she was not yet a believer. What'd she believe? When Jesus was talking to her about worship, she said, I believe there's a Messiah coming. When he comes, he's going to tell us all things. She believed in the Messiah. The world out there, a lot of them will say, I believe, but they're not believers yet. They had not had an experience of knowing him, touched by him. Life-changing experience that changed eternal life inside of them. So you know what about White Harvest Revival? Not only do you have to be thirsty at the well, not only do you have to give repentance and salvation together. Don't leave somebody in their sins. Tell them how to be saved.
Yes.
Give them the hope of salvation. Jesus did that. Get them thirsting again.
Yes.
And then they'll have to deal with their sin. Pray. They talk to the Lord. And then Jesus is going to get most personal with them and get down to what they do believe. It's not about what you think you believe. It's about who you know. In your believing. Jesus wants you to know him, not just believe he is.
That's right.
Know him. And so Jesus revealed himself. White Harvest Revival comes when Jesus is revealed. We're never going to have a White Harvest Revival just bragging about beautiful things in our church. We're never going to have a White Harvest Revival just saying, you know, so-and-so goes to our church, I think you would enjoy meeting them. That might be so, but that's not White Harvest Revival. Revival comes when we reveal Jesus. Bring him to Calvary. That's what Jesus was doing. How do I know she received? Because down in the text that we read this morning, the Bible says she left her water pots. Church, you and I have got a life and a closet and a basement, and a trunk full of water pots. life has been deposited in those water pots. But when Jesus touches you, the message of that is leave the past behind.
Yes.
Get loose of the many water pots in your life.
Oh, yes, Lord.
This is what Jesus does. This is what rejoicing does. She got so excited, she left those water pots. Those could have been ancient, historical, family heirloom water pots. Those could have been traditional. They could have been worth a lot of money. And she said, I've met somebody that replaces every water pot I've ever owned, and I'm leaving it behind, and I'm going to tell. And she went and told. Now, let me see if I can get away with this one, but you'll have to. No, I'm not even going to try. I was going to talk to you a little bit about. No, I can't go there. She went and spread the good news, and she wasn't bashful about her talking. Here it comes. Testimonies will preach. Sister Linda, your testimony will preach this morning. They preach a message, but only Jesus can save. The woman went out and talked. You can go ahead and put on some music for me, Brother Chuck. Closing. You can go on and tell your testimony, and that's a great way to witness. But I don't know if you found out sometimes that when you testify to people about your life, you might be ready for them just to kind of collapse in your arms right there and say, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready to give my heart to Jesus right now. It can happen that way. But this woman was so touched by the Lord. She left her water pots and she left everything behind. She went to the group, the men. That's what it says in the Bible. She went back and talked to the men. What she was doing was she was bragging on Jesus. Hey, you men ain't measuring up. I met a man that knows all things. She was telling them she's very excited. You want to come hear him? And it got their interest. The Bible says that there were many out of the city that came to him. Came to him. Now, I'm not against knocking on doors. I've done a lot of it. Would you come to church with me? Jesus waited many times on the multitude to come to him. Now, does that let us off the hook? No. But somebody, that one-on-one, that's the ministry. Jesus did that. He went to the common place of the well. He did that. But he didn't go around on every city door. But he did a White Harvest revival, one soul. Gave her everything she needed. She went back to the city. You see where the revival's starting? And she told the city, hey, I know a man. Changed my life. Her testimony. They got to Jesus, many of them did. But they witnessed back to her and they said something like this. I'm real glad you brought me to church with you. But I'm not convinced of everything you told me because, see, now I've heard him myself. I received him myself. So you know what happened? That testimony became a real testimony to them. And that's the power. Don't get discouraged. Church, don't be discouraged when people don't go on and get saved just because you tell them about the Lord. Stir them up and say, come on, come meet him for yourself. Testimonies preach. Only Jesus can save them. We got to be doing that together. I'm ready to see a White Harvest revival in the church. Are you? Should bow your heads with me this morning.
Didn't have none, but I'm gonna be getting in here until Monday. We need to thank Him for that.
See, God is working. But see, you could do that, Sister Nancy, because you know Him. Your testimony is going to help somebody else to call out to Him. But they got to know Him. Our bodies need healed, but you got to know the healer. Our children need delivered, but they got to know the deliverer. See, we can keep testifying, but see, that's part of it. Jesus said to His disciples, He said, some sow and some reap. I'm sending you to labor where others have already labored. The message of the church today is we cannot stop being laborers. We can't. There's always a field. There's always a white harvest. I want you to begin to pray this prayer with me while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Before we pray this prayer, I want to ask, perhaps there's somebody here this morning that needs, like the woman at the well, to meet Jesus. Not just believe in Him, but meet Him. Make Him their Lord. In such a way that you'll leave the past behind, you'll let go of your water pots. If that's you this morning, you would say, I need this. I need to meet Him. Would you simply lift up your hand and just hold it there for a second? Everybody else with their head bowed and eyes closed, let's respect one another. I just want to see if there's somebody that needs to pray the salvation prayer this morning. Simply lift up your hand. That's all you got to do. We'll pray together. Is there somebody? Church, pray this with me. Lord Jesus, without You, I'm just going to keep drinking the same old water. I'm not going to get above my problems. I'm not going to get over my hurts. I won't know anything about eternal life. I don't want to be that way. I want to be alive with new life, new hope. I need eternal life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. I receive You, not somebody else's ministry, not somebody else's testimony, but I receive You as my Savior. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me ask it this way. While the eyes are closed, the heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer and this was the day that it really became real to you and you accepted Him, if you prayed that, and that was for you this morning, now I want you to raise your hand as a testimony that God touched your heart. Is there one that can raise their hand now and say, that was my prayer this morning? I received that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, church, let's go on into the prayer. Every one of us got family. Every one of us got neighbors. Every one of us have people around us that must hear about Jesus. Help us to be hungry and thirsty like Jesus was. He was the one that went to the well thirsty. Let's pray that together. Lord, let us be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Don't let us unplug and drain out all the spiritual water and say there's no more people to get saved. Because You said to Your disciples, look up. So I pray a prayer this morning over this church that we look up. We see the white fields of harvest ready. The natural cycle says 4 months. But Lord, at the place of Your word, the crop is ready. Help us be carrying this gospel fulfilling the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach to every tribe, tongue, and nation, making disciples in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Holy Spirit, baptizing them, bringing them in. Church, I want you to begin to start praying for water baptism in our church again. People testifying that Jesus came in their life. They go down into a watery grave that symbolizes where all the sin of man is. We see Jesus resurrect us up out of the water like he was resurrected out of the grave. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to see more people baptized in this church than ever before. And also want to see them stay and join and be part of the family of God. Let's stand together this morning. It's been a beautiful service. Holy Spirit has been wonderful to us today. I want to thank you for coming. Don't ever feel like you don't need to be here. Don't ever get to the place where you think, you know, they really don't want me back in church. Yes, we do. Keep coming. You're a part of the family of God. It's our time to have a family reunion when we come to church. See our brothers and sisters in Christ. Some are out today. They're still our brothers. They're still our sisters. Would you pray for them? Lord, we give you thanks. We praise you in the name of Jesus. God, may we really believe in this White Harvest revival. May we see it come to pass. Touch each member, every person, every visitor, every vessel that came to your house this morning. Bring us back tonight. May the same Holy Spirit anointing be with us upon the speaker, upon the message, the music. God, we love you. Bless your great people this morning. Let them know the revealing power of who Jesus is. Reveal yourself to them. This is the Sabbath day's rest. Take the worry off of us today. Take the burden out of our heart. Let us rest in you. The church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hope to see you tonight. You are dismissed.